Everyone, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Monday, June 12th, regular Othello City Council meeting. And I call this meeting to order at 6:35 PM. I'd like you all to please rise for a short private invocation, asking for wisdom for the council and its decisions it makes, and for blessing upon this city. Now, please join me in the Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. 1.4 on our agenda is roll call. All council members are present, save for John Lawless, who took some vacation time off, so I would entertain a motion to approve of the absence of John Lawless tonight, to excuse him from our proceedings.
Okay.
Second. We have a motion made in second, and all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd also like to point out, we have the pleasure of legal counsel of Roger Reed tonight with us. He'll be representing the city. Kelly is in the middle of litigation, and so Roger will be advising us with regard to legal matters. So Roger, welcome back to Othello. Thank you. Item 1.5 is citizen input. It's the segment of our city council meeting where people have the opportunity to address the Othello City Council with regard to any issue that they choose. If there's anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. Yes, sir? Would you please step to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the council.
Make it brief. Hi, my name is Ned Poiskich, and I'm a general manager here for Pearl Building Othello. And the reason I'm here tonight is I was recently contacted by a city employee telling us that from now on, anytime we make a delivery within city limits, we have to apply for this right-of-way work permit. And I looked through the permit, and basically, that's a work permit for somebody, you know, doing, replacing a driveway or doing some kind of construction. And while I fully intend to comply with it, it's going to throw a wrench to our business because, you know, it states that we need to apply for the permit in person at the city, pay for the permit with check or cash, and we also have to have a traffic plan in place, which means prior to every delivery, I have to go to the job site, check it out, and submit it with a permit. And then furthermore, it's $40, but it's requiring us to have $1 million insurance each time we go through a delivery, and list City of Othello as additional insured, you know. I mean, we're just on public roads, we're making quick delivery in and out in, you know, 10, 15 minutes. I just don't see how this applies to us. You know, we're the only local lumberyard here in town, and I know, I'm pretty sure that somebody coming from Moses Lake or Tri-Cities making deliveries in town, they don't know about this ordinance. And they're going to be in and out, and, you know, us being local, we'll be the only ones being policed. So, ordinance itself is pretty vague. I mean, we operate as a Pearl Building, you know, we operate in over 40 states, and I checked with our corporate office, and they've never heard of such requirement in any other U.S. city. So, I mean, the exempt from the fee and the permit, you know, is listed here in the ordinance, and it's basically same type of vehicle, which is a truck with a forklift, which we use, as long as they're delivering appliances.
You're talking about local deliveries, Ned?
Yeah, local deliveries within city limits.
So, is there anything else you want to add to that?
I mean, like I said, I mean, out-of-town people, they're going to be coming and making deliveries, and it's just going to put a wrench to our business. I mean, I see a couple of local builders here, and, you know, I mean, I can't tell them they can't have a delivery for 3 or 4 days because I got to wait for permit, you know. I have to, you know, come in here personally. I have to request a check for my regional office, and it's going to be time-consuming and, I mean, not good.
So does staff want to respond to that, or do you want to investigate first and then respond to...
We can respond now. And Ned, I apologize. I'll get back to you today on your email. I've been tied up with, as you'll see, other matters here all day. But I can address it, or I can have Terry address it in detail. But if the council remembers, I think it was a couple of years ago that we went through this as far as local deliveries. And we started out with Home Depot out of Moses Lake. And what's happening was, and I'm not saying your company is doing this, Ned, or not, but some of the deliveries, they were using the trucks backing over our curbs, damaging our curbs, damaging our sidewalks, and we didn't know who was there because there was no permit being issued. And so we circled back around with Home Depot and Lowe's and a few others, I think, but those two specifically, and said we need a permit so that we know two things, who's there, and also the traffic, as you already addressed, the traffic plan, because when a truck's sticking out in the middle of the road, that's what caught Terry's attention, I believe, is one of your delivery trucks sticking out in the middle of the road, and no cones or anything else. And so it was to make sure there's safety precautions taken, and make sure that if there was damage, that we knew who was there, and so we could go back and get the damage. That's the reason for the insurance, and I'm not sure how that works exactly, but those are the reasons, and council had passed that ordinance, and given the exception for the appliance deliveries, because we figured they were indeed in and out, and not staying there for, I don't know how long it takes. But that's the background. Terry might have more details. You want to address them, Terry?
As far as the right-of-way permit is for working within the city right-of-way, Proville was down off of Cedar and first here delivering to a vacant lot down there. They were uphill, crossed the curb, drove across the curb. Half the trailer was in the city right-of-way with no cones around it. When we do a development, like Olson's development or Palo Verde's development, those aren't accepted by the city yet. So they have the opportunity to do whatever they need to do to deliver. It's when it's accepted by the city and you're working within a right-of-way that we require the right-of-way permit for liability purposes, for somebody to hold responsible for driving across curbs and gutters and across valve boxes and things like that. So as far as the insurance side of it, every right-of-way permit has to have insurance behind it. But if you present it and we keep it on file for a year, you have to renew it every year. It goes in, we pull it, we attach it. Most of the right-of-way permits are done online. So they're available there, and we normally push them through fairly quick. So,
council,
I know, just to let you know, I know that Lowe's out of Moses Lake knows about it because last year I redid the roof of my house, and they charged me an extra $45 for a permit to deliver the shingles and stuff. So they know about it, and they pay it also.
And then just so to, you know, kind of clarify this, so not till our phase is completely done and fully accepted by the city, you don't have to apply for that. Once that is accepted by the city, and then we're under the city's rules and regulations, they're liable for whatever happens out in the road. So, like, right now for my development, you shouldn't need that.
Okay, I understand.
I guess... I want to ask the council, do you guys want to revisit this and refine it?
Yeah.
Corey?
Yeah, I was opposed to it last, when it came up last time, and I'm still opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't on the council then, so I'd like to hear it again.
So you got an excuse?
Yep.
Okay.
I think there's some things we could do to streamline the process, maybe make it a one-time, once-a-year, you know, application, and then have them fax in their traffic permits or traffic plans and things like that. Something so that we can make it, you know, and make it an online process, or something we can do to streamline it, make it a little easier for you.
I think Terry said it was online already, and they expedite as quick as they can. But There may be some other ways, but we'll take a look at it and see if there's ways to streamline it, so.
If we can make it, you know, where they accept the credit card payment online or something, so I don't have to personally come here every time.
That's what I think.
That's what she's talking about. So we'll revisit our process.
Okay. But still, like I said, you know, the appliance truck, you know, same type of vehicle, same thing, you know, exception to the rule.
We're not trying to hurt the business.
No.
And I guess sometimes we adopt things and don't understand all the consequences, because there's lots of sides to anything. So I think you've got an agreement with the city council that they want to revisit it.
Okay.
If you would like to include, you'd like us to include you, Ned, in part of the discussion, we certainly would, to get your perspective as to maybe how we could do this better.
Yeah.
And we'll be contacting you with regard to that. Would you please leave your information with either the city clerk, or the deputy clerk is here in the audience. She's raising her hand over here.
Okay.
And we'll be in contact with you with regard to those discussions, okay?
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Yep. Thank you. Is there anyone else here tonight who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand. Okay. Seeing none, we'll move to item two, approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is the consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll go to item four, is our current business, 4.1. We have the privilege of having Desert Oasis High School Community Service Project report. I'd like to welcome you to the Othello City Council meeting, Desert Oasis High School students and representatives. And I've heard a little bit about this project, and so we're interested to hear more.
Yeah. Well, thank you. My name is Adam Shockey, and I'm the social studies teacher at Desert Oasis High School. And I have two students today, Cesar Ponce and Jose Ozuna, who I hear has walked these halls before. He's related, he's got connections. But 3 months ago, our high school did a community service project at the request of the director of the Columbia National Wildlife Refuge, who needed our help cleaning up an 8-mile stretch of McMahon Road, West McMahon Road. And so we thought, rather than just do that, that as we were cleaning up, we would take statistics on what kind of refuse were we finding, with the goal that eventually we could make our way here and present to all of you the most common types of refuse, and not only that, but try to get the students to brainstorm solutions to how to reduce the amount of the biggest types of refuse. And so we had a school-wide competition. All of our classes broke into teams of 2 to 4 students, and they had presentation competitions. And what you're going to see tonight is kind of the student and staff voted on best ideas that are going to be presented by Cesar and JJ. So without further ado, and I believe it's short, sweet, and concise. And one thing before these guys come up that I wanted to say is that when you see these ideas up here, these are just that. They're ideas to kind of get the thought processes started for our city. So, okay, guys.
Thank you, Shaka. Good evening, everybody.
Well, West McMahon Road letter survey brief and presentation proposal prepared for you guys, completed by students of the DOHS in conjunction with faculty. And, 3 months ago, Desert Oasis was contacted by the director of the Columbia National Wildlife Refuge to request the assistance of our student body in helping to clean up an 8-mile stretch of West McMahon Road, a road on the Columbia Basin, Columbia Wildlife Refuge. Led by our math teacher, Sean Finn, which is here today, we turned the community service task into a project to statistically document the most common categories, types of refuge found in effort to provide the city of Othello and Adams County with research and data that could be used to brainstorm, troubleshoot possible policy prescriptions to cut down on the most problematic items. And here we have a Facebook video. Those are pictures of us. That's my friend Gavin, Jesus, Xavier. There he is again. They're cleaning. Gavin, right here in his hand, has a glass bottle, which we'll talk about later.
Right here is some data that we collected while we were picking up garbage. Our greatest data that we collected were beer cans, glass, and plastic bottles, bottle caps. Plastic, glass, and aluminum. To tackle the top three sources of local material waste pollution, the following top three vote winners from our DOHS Litter Solutions for presentations will be described here. Community-funded car trash receptacles, community recycling drive, demographic youth-specific solutions, and the recycling bank concept.
Car-specific waste bags. Car litter bags provided free to the community through a community-private partnership. The city or a city-private partnership could purchase and hand out the bags at the vendors of origins of plastic, glass, or aluminum refuge. See, our examples here are like basically bags you could put like inside your car, because one here we have on the stick shift, another one here we have on the two bars of the headrest. Here we could have, as I was saying, trash bags, so when, you know, your car, you finally decide to clean out the car because you keep throwing all the McDonald's bags in the back of the car, you could finally just, or out the window, you could just put them in here and then, you know, keep your car all nice and clean so you don't have to worry about all of the stuff that ends up building up in your car. Plastic, glass, and aluminum recycling drives. Create a community drive for people to recycle any type of plastic, glass, or aluminum and get paid for it. Anyway, see, our picture here, most of us have probably been more to Seattle, that type of area, and we see these a lot. And it gets to thinking, how come we can't have that here? You know, we have them there, the stores of like Walmart, Leprechaun, you know, all these stores where they just have one specific garbage bag. Well, here we could start bringing the idea down to where we could have clear gas, you know, trash, aluminum, basically stuff like that. This targets any type of the top three litter types found anywhere around the community. A combination of material specific disposal containers alongside quarantine community led recycling drives and are suggested for further study.
We should suggest that littering behavior is strongly correlated with age. The younger the population, the more they litter. The median age of the adult population is 25.5 years, according to the 2010 cases. This is almost 20 years younger than the national median age. Modified demographics specific students suggested initiated include the basketball themed trash can, where it would be kind of like a game to recycle stuff, and kids would be like, well, I'm sure a basket with this can maybe, and that could be a way to collect some. Instead of them littering it, they shoot it in the basket. Or the trash can disposal invisible voting game among two different choices, where you You throw your trash in the one which, where you in the boat?
I don't know, that makes sense, though.
More like, because, you know, we don't get a lot. When you try to get the city to vote, like the real city of Botelo, it's kind of hard. So what we could start doing is now, like, you know, at 4th of July or any other public event, we could start having, like, these trash bins where, like, they can't, they take vote. So let's say we have the Super Bowl this next coming year. We have the two finalists, you know. You could have a general pool, like, of Seahawks versus the Patriots. So you have your Seahawks fans throwing all the trash in the Seahawks, and you could have all the Patriots fans throwing all the Patriots, you know, trash in there, and then you could get the general pool for, you know, what's the city going to think that who's going to win the Super Bowl? You know, stuff like that, you know. Dogs versus cat lovers, if the world needs more love, the world needs more peace, or, you know, maybe the city should do this or this, you know, general pool and stuff. Also, another concept for that is, like, the playground and youth, since most kids, you know, go to the park here in Kiwanis or Lions, there is concrete areas somewhere. So here we have, there's a maze. This is in Europe. A maze that leads to the garbage can, or here you have an outline of a basketball. So also this could go in line with the basketball hoop. You have the outline of, like, a three throw line, and you could just make it.
This idea right here, I came up with one that was kind of similar to it, where it could be put up in a park maybe, or at Walmart, where how every item they buy at the store has a barcode scanner. Well, you could, you come to the trash can and you scan the barcode, and you could get a coupon for it maybe, and like 50 cents off maybe $1. And instead of recycling it, people would be like, why would they kind of get paid for it? You know, buy my litter bag, and you put it in there, and now you take that coupon to the store and you get a little discount, maybe. There's an idea kind of like it, the recycling, and yeah, that's about it.
Invite funding, who pays for it? And also, how is the money collected? Local businesses, private stakeholders, and the city of Botelo. The money could be collected from property taxes, waste disposal fees, private donations, etc. With it, and also with private donations, you know, with the bags that people, like, let's say Walmart, Leprechaun, or any of the Micasaneria, El Jasmin, you know, stuff like that. We could have free advertisements. So, like, let's say McCain's wants to sponsor the plastic bag inside of a car idea. Well, you just put McCain's, you know, sponsors on the bags, or McDonald's wants to sponsor it, and they, you know, they're kind of like putting their name out there, like they're also trying to help the community in some type of way. We will be forwarding this presentation to you guys. Any questions or comments?
Some great ideas.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you put that trash bag in the cars where I'm from. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it's a city ordinance. If you get pulled over and you don't have a disposal bag in your vehicle at that time when you're pulled over, it's an extra $25 on top of your ticket.
Hey, there you go.
You know, so I thought that was pretty cool that you had that in there. But no, good job, guys. Very good job.
Yeah. Good job. I like how you went out and cleaned up. Then you compiled data, you analyzed it, and then everybody brainstormed and came up with some solutions. It's, yeah, I mean, really good. And I think you could count on your city council to work with Desert Oasis High School to come up with some solutions. It may have to be small steps at first, but I think you guys did a really, not only did you do a really good job, but you really thought this through. You had some good coaching. And I just need to let you know that I'm proud of my Desert Oasis High School here in Othello, its students, its upcoming graduates, and the staff there, because I think everybody is doing a really good job. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 4.2 is water tower painting. And we have John Kitchen here with us tonight on a return engagement. John?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Mayor, council members. So, yeah, I'm just here tonight to talk about the logo on the city water tower. I'm with Utility Service / Suez, kind of go by two names now. We currently maintain all three of the reservoirs within the city here. And we've been kind of working on these logos. It's been evolving ever since we started taking care of these tanks, specifically the Lions Park tanks. The 1 million gallon tank originally had Lions Park written on it. When we renovated that, we were told to just overcoat that and we were going to move it to the 3 million gallon tank. And we renovated the 3 million gallon tank. We were going to put it on there and we were told to hold off. We might put the city logo or crest on there. And then we were getting ready to do that and we were told, hold off, we're rebranding the city. We want to see what, you know, what this looks like before we do anything. So that's kind of where we're at today. The proposal in front of you is simply to add the logo to the 3 million gallon tank. And the logo, I think you have a picture of it. It was sent over with the materials that I had. But there would be two city logos, one on each side, one facing to the east and the one facing more towards town and towards the park. And it would also be adding the vertical stripes similar to the red and white tank that you guys have, which is very much a landmark tank across the country, to be honest with you. If you Google water tanks, your water tower shows up on Google. So very much a landmark tank, and it's something to be proud of. So the options we have, really, I've put together two options for paying for it, much like when we did the original renovations on the tank, where we spread the initial cost for the reservoirs. This option here, we're looking at doing either paying for the original cost of the logos up front and then doing a base fee from there to maintain that logo moving forward and then repainting it when we come back to renovate the tanks in 10 to 12 years. The second option is simply to take that initial cost that we have and spread it over the first 3 years and then go to the base fee. So it's kind of a budgeting issue, I guess, which way the city, the council would like to pay for it. But yeah, this is an example of what it would look like with the vertical stripes, and then this is the one logo and then one on the other side as well. So this was presented to the Parks Committee and then the Public Works Committee as well. So some of you already seen this presentation and know what we're talking about. So,
do you have any comments?
That tank looks awful good to me.
Yeah.
Spencer, do you have any comments?
This is something that we would be able to run.
Do you have a preference?
You want
it? Yes.
I would say what?
No, option one or option two?
I haven't had a chance to read these two options.
The cost is the same either way. It's just spreading the cost, really. So whether the city would rather just pay for that initial cost of the first, the logos and the stripes up front, or spreading that cost 3 years. But
council, do you have a preference?
I would just assume, you know,
pay it up front and then just roll it into the base. And I think that's what we said in our committees too.
Okay, so option one.
Option one, the one with the what was it, 59,000, 60,000, and then it'll roll into the base from there on out. And then when they come back, when it's time to do it again, they just come back and do it as part of the maintenance.
We've noticed that the red and white one needs done again.
Yeah, it's scheduled for 2019 to be done. I don't know if they've inspected it yet this year, but if they look at it and it's not looking as fresh as they want it to, they'll renovate it potentially early. So I was thinking I was coming to town today, I might swing by and look at it and make a recommendation if we can do it early possibly. But it is scheduled for 2019, I believe. So.
All right, with that, I'd entertain a motion to accept the utility service contract addendum to the current maintenance program, utilizing option one.
I'll make that motion.
That's fair.
Further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Okay. last Monday night, we had a public hearing to hear the Sagestone 8 development agreement. That was continued to this morning at 11, which was then continued again until tonight. We're passing around some documents to the council. With that, I'd like to reopen this public hearing for the Sagestone 8 development at 7:06 p.m. And I want to ask, is these documents that have been handed to the council, have they been made available to the public? To the members of the...
No.
No? Do we need to?
If they'd like a copy, we can... Yeah, we can make them available. They'll be available as needed.
Okay. You need it right now? Charles?
Yes, please.
Here, let's get in, Charles.
Well, we've got one up here.
Okay. So, just to recap, last week, we went over quite a number of issues with regard to the inspection fee agreement and the developer's agreement. With the developer, Olson Homes and LLC and Sagestone 8 subdivision. Since that time, we've had no less than three or four meetings, phone discussions, and then one of the things we didn't bring up initially in that meeting or at all in that meeting was the budget and the amount that the city was going to pay for the infrastructure improvements that go from 7th Avenue to 14th Avenue hooking up to Columbia Basin Health. So, and their new development. So, and their new building. So since that time, I'm going to ask representatives from Olson Homes Inc. to and Dell Green, their engineer, to kind of give us a recap of what we've been through over the last week, and then later the council will have an opportunity to ask questions. Dell?
It's been an interesting week. This week, a lot of hard work on both the city staff's part and part of our office and Olson as well. We came from a position where we had proposed a development agreement and infrastructure fee agreement with some questions and some, concerns on both parts. And so through the last week, we've been able to work through those inconsistencies. We've on research on both sides of the house. We've been able to find and develop common language that is acceptable to both parties. We have the development agreement that has been prepared and submitted to you today is in substantial conformance with what this city or what Olson Homes needs. We did just find out that there is a that we'll need to fix on one of the documents, okay. As Olson Homes is misspelled. But we were able to work through all those points of concern, understanding the Department of Health's requirements. There was a long discussion of the role of the city in the inspections and the submittals versus the role of the developer in terms of inspections. We've been able to work through those and come to an agreement. This held or that's shown inside the development agreement, or the inspection fee agreement. The development agreement, we've been able to come up with language there that provides the flexibility where we can. We're in also providing the most direct path through to the completion of the sewer system in Columbia and providing for the future needs, or the near future needs of CDHA. So going forward with that, I have a, I don't know if there's a way to, a place to write things down or to be able to describe.
Yeah, why don't you, before you go any further,
sure,
why don't you go over the highlights of the changes? Because one of the things we spend in a tremendous amount of time was section 16.5.
Section 16.5.
And I think the council needs to understand what, how that was determined and what exactly our final language is.
Okay. Thank you. Can we bring that up by chance?
You don't.
All right, I got it right. I wish I'd brought an earlier version.
You can borrow mine. You can borrow mine.
We got ours.
You have the one we have from last week.
Here, take this as the one we're about to adopt and that you guys just worked on. That is the sort, I think, for the purposes of the council and probably some of the members of the audience, the sewer storm, sanitary, and storm sewer installation schedule.
That is that as focused as it gets?
That's on page 12 of the developer's agreement, council. You have that? Is that page 12?
Yep.
Page 12.
There is a section on the next sheet that we'll have to adjust to. So with, in our discussions from last week, we were able to come to agreement with some adjustments to the dates of submittal. Our plan is to still submit these plans for review by the 16th, this Friday, and then give Varela a week for their review. We also set a date for the resolution, a meeting to find out any resolution discrepancy between our offices. So we're taking a proactive approach to resolve any issues in the plans themselves. The language below this is substantially similar to what it was last week. We have to wait for all the permitting requirements to be satisfied prior to being able to commit to proceed with the work. That takes us down through this point down here. The completion of the sewer and storm drain system may be extended, or we came up with some extra language, but the completion of the sewer and storm drain utilities may be extended beyond the 45-day time frame if the developer encounters unforeseeable conditions and or circumstances which makes compliance with the 45-day window right at the top, please. Impossible. So we provided some language in there that provides a degree, or you know, some release if we run into situations. The last version was a little tight on both sides, and that's one of the reasons that we had so much problem coming to agreement. So the legal counsel took this same paragraph here, which hasn't changed substantially, and kind of spread it out so it was easier to read. So that shows how the kind of the consequences of us not meeting, or the developer not meeting that 45-day business window. Now,
We also discussed
we're missing, there's some language didn't make it in here through one of the revisions. We also discussed a little bit of a forgiveness in terms of the work that as we're going forward. The original description, we talked about the sewer and the stormwater needing to be done in a 45-day window. Through discussions with the mayor's office and with staff, we came up with an agreement to focus that 45-day window upon the sewer system. Now, it's my understanding, discussions with the contractor, that likely we will be constructing the storm main probably just in advance of constructing the sewer main, because the sewer have all sorts of pipes that cross over the storm main. And so, but what it does do is it provides us some relief in terms of testing and grading for piping for the catch basins and those other structures. It allows us to do that after that sewer window has been completed. So we're going to have to make revisit this development.
Okay, so hold on. I want to clarify that. So that language missed it.
Somehow,
because that was
right here. It's right there. It just continues on the
next page. Next page.
What's on the next page? Okay, yes.
Oh, I apologize.
Up top. Except the one we just handed out.
Yeah,
I'll
see
that's
it.
The one I sent out.
Is that
the one? Yeah,
that's the release for unforeseeable conditions. We had some language in there that described that separated the sewer from the storm. We'll need to find that language.
Oh, that's on page.
Am I missing it somewhere? I thought it was.
Okay, so I'll just explain it. When we sat down with the developer and with Dell and our engineer and staff, the main priority of the city was to get the sewer completed as quickly as possible. And then that was the 45 business days from the triggers of this agreement in 16.5. And then in addition to that, there was language that upon completion of the sewer system, there was an additional 45 days granted to complete the stormwater utility improvements. Is that correct? That's what I understand. That's what we agreed upon. It was in language in here. Just, but you got to understand, there was a ton of back and forth going on just today, just this afternoon. So it may have not made it into this draft, but that was what made sense, because there isn't the urgency to get the stormwater utility done until probably November, when that's our rainy season. But the urgency is to meet as quickly as we can our obligation to bring the sewer system to Columbia Basin Health. So I'm just explaining it that way. And so when we adopt this agreement, while that language may be missing, we'll make that exception that language would be included in this developer's agreement. Okay?
So with that, I think that substantially describes the differences in what we came up with in our language in that 16.5 section, which is so argumentative last meeting. Does anybody have any questions relative to that section before I would move on?
No.
Okay. The infrastructure and fee agreement discussion, which should be in front of you now. There were discussions relative to the responsibilities for submittals, and there's a long dialogue relative to submittals. We've accepted, you know, we discussed and we came up with this terminology to be inserted into section four, at the bottom of section 4.01. It says the city agrees to review the construction submittals and verify that materials are consistent with the city standards and construction plans. The city further agrees to provide all on-site inspections, verifying construction is in general conformance with city standards and construction plans. The city will complete the Department of Health construction completion report. And that satisfies the needs on the developer side, that minimizes, well, that relieves us from being able, having to duplicate efforts between the developer and the city.
With regard to inspections?
In regard to inspections, yes. The other points in that were discussed last week relative, there was some redrafting of some text that specifies the amount of time that the city has to review those submittals and the form that those submittals need to be in when they get submitted. And those have all been we've discussed and we find acceptable. And then there were some small adjustments to section 4.0 that brings the agreement in line with that section 4.01 above and the city's responsibility, where we changed some text from design engineer to city inspector. So those are the changes to that infrastructure agreement. Does anybody have any questions there?
I will note that the city engineer, city staff, myself, and Dell, Larry, and Pete reviewed this part of the agreement just in the last hour and a half, and we were in agreement that this is good for both parties, city and the developer. There's language in here that we can agree to. Okay.
So beyond that, there was some discussion of the budget, and this should be the last page of the budget submittal. If you have those, it would be on the legal sheets, and it should be similar to this on that very last page. And so the in the discussions, we've been able to come up with a budget that describes the Olson's portion of the project and the city's portion of the project. We've removed the irrigation components out that would have been seen in the original discussions with the Utilities Committee, and we've added in the $32,500 and made a couple withdrawals of some overlapping responsibilities based on previous agreements that we've negotiated out. I have to admit, in our meeting a few minutes ago, we were discussing a number, I think somewhere around $508,000. When we manipulated the spreadsheets, mind you, the spreadsheet's huge.
Mm-hmm.
We come up with the city's portion of $500,000 there, but I want to keep that pointed out there, that 508, because I need, both me and Kurt need to go through and see if we can find out what happened to that other expected 8,000.
Okay.
So those are the components of the budget as we see coming through the project. And does anybody have any questions about that? I mean, we can talk days about budgets, especially when there's so many, you know, pieces of this one that we have laid out.
Anybody have any questions, Council? Okay, very good, Phil, thank you.
Did you want me to discuss schedule?
Yes, I do, please.
Okay. So
wish I had a great big whiteboard. The path forward for this agreement to work well and to meet the needs of the city and the needs of the developer is going to require the coordinated efforts of both the developer through my office and the city staff. It is our intention, it's my intention, to deliver the plans earlier in the week than Friday. We ran through a set of revisions, and I'm doing some fine-tuning between my calculations and my design plans in the next day or so. We'll be submitting to the city for their review, and hopefully those plans, I believe those plans are ready for their review and should be able to go through quickly with a few comments. Albeit, any comments that we get that get provided by the by staff will address and be ready for a meeting that following week to work out any possible inconsistencies or discussion points that we need to come to consensus on the plans to go forward. With that, at that same time, as soon as I possibly can get it put together, we're going to be submitting the CEPA for review and start that process, which goes kind of hand in hand with the Department of Ecology's Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan and its NPDES permit. So we'll be making the notifications and begin that advertising as soon as we possibly can as we submit the CEPA. And those processes move through as quickly as possible. Those can take 30 to 45 days, possibly 60 if there's a train wreck, but we're all motivated for that not to occur. So as we move through those, that should provide ample window for any revisions to the construction plans to occur, and also to obtain approval for our plans. Once the plans are approved, we'll be working on obtaining submittals and for processing and review by city staff prior to construction. It's our goal to be able to start construction as soon as the NPDES permit has been passed and the CEPA processing has been completed. So that window could happen as early as July 15th, giving us that 45 business day, which is roughly two calendar months window to construct that sewer pipe. And in coordination with the city and their reviews. So prior to that start of construction, we'll have pre-construction meeting where we'll line up all the schedules, both inspection and construction schedules, so everybody's operating on a clear understanding of what the path forward and how we can all work together to complete that sewer line as fast as reasonably possible.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions?
Council? All right. Thank you, Dell. Very good. Appreciate that. That pretty much summarizes what I understand that we have been going through for the last week. And now, Kurt, do you want to add anything to what's been said tonight? Okay. Council, do you have any questions for Kurt? All right.
Very Thanks. Disappointed.
Okay. All right. Good. Then, thank you. Roger Reed, do you have anything you want to add to this?
No, thank you. Not at this point. I mean, this has gone through quite a bit of revisions, and I'm coming in here late playing relief pitcher for Kelly.
Right.
But
and we appreciate that.
I think we're on top of it, and this has been a much discussed, much negotiated process, and I think the work product that results is really good for the city.
Okay, appreciate that. I do want to point out again and recap the schedule. is laid out by Dale. He did leave out a step. The first one is to submit the plans to the city this week, the drawings. Second is the city's going to review and iron out the details over a period of time, hopefully starting next week. Next Monday, was this party left out, is the hearings examiner, and that important step in this process. That'll be next Monday at 1 p.m. After that, approval from the hearings examiner, he takes how long?
10 days, I believe.
He has up to 10 business days. In the meantime, we'll be working out our plans and any, you know, adjustments that need to be made to that. In addition to once next, is it next week that the developer is going to submit the SEPA and the NPDES permit next week, the application. And since we're a COPA applicant, I believe is the council is going to be required to approve. Is that right? That application, or can we do that tonight by this process?
I would think the answer to this whole thing.
That's understood that we're going to, okay. And then upon approval, we'll start constructions. Hopefully, all those steps are met. We'll have a construction meeting on the 15th of July, and we're looking at approximately the middle of September for completion and hookup to the city sewer at the end where Columbia Basin Health is. And then in discussions with last week, Kurt Andrews had said they're looking for a certificate of occupancy for September 1. They're going to then begin to outfit and set up everything in the new building that on the inside that needs to be done. There will be a number of staff that will be there. And I have received assurances from our engineering department, from Kurt, that we can accommodate that additional load onto the 14th Avenue existing sewer system that they're connected to. And once this connection is made sometime in the middle of September, barring any unforeseen circumstances, the city will we will then meet our obligation to Columbia Basin Health, which that promise was made over a year ago. Okay? So, Greg, you had a statement?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be no load on this list until October. We need 2 months to move in.
Okay.
So it's not like we're going to be occupied yet. We might have some people in the furniture.
Yeah.
Nobody is working or living there at all.
Okay. That's helpful to know. We've been doing everything we can, just to give you the insurances. A week ago, we were quite a ways apart. And in the last week, we've gotten to where we are tonight, which is we believe we have an accord. And our primary concern throughout this whole process was to meet that obligation. It was initially, the promise was made to you by Travis. We can see now what he was really trying to do. He was really looking ahead, and he was trying to set up something that not only accommodated the Columbia Basin Health, but set the city up for future development for years to come. So in that whole area around there. And so it looks like if we approve this tonight, all that stuff will come to fruition. So it really is a momentous night tonight. So, having said that, I appreciate the comment, Greg. Appreciate the help to work with the city, that you guys have been really good to have the vision to put together something of this magnitude that's going to have an impact on the city for years and years and decades and to come. So, also, this Olfilson development has that same ability to create an impact for people to have a place to live. And with that, is there any further questions the council has? Okay. And I'd like to open this to public testimony. There's three parts to our public testimony. Number one, those in support. Two, those who are neutral. And three, those who are in opposition to these agreements. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to speak in support of this developers, this Sage Tony development agreement public hearing? Okay. Seeing none, is there any neutral who wants to speak tonight to the proposal? And seeing none, is there any in opposition to this proposal? Okay. With that, I'm going to close the public testimony portion and the public hearing portion of this at 7:36 p.m. And now, council, is there any additional information you need to make a decision? Okay. I would remind that in this motion, we need to amend or add in, Roger, that language that the initial 45-day was for the sewer, and then they had a subsequent 45-day business day to complete the stormwater.
Yeah, I assume I'll be tying in with Dell and maybe Michelle, and we'll work that and get it. I had to wait until you for...
The other thing is, there's the difference between the $500,000 and the $508,000. How is that going to be resolved?
I need some time to look at the spreadsheets and then get with Kurt, have him review this and come to an agreement. It could be this $500,000 number or it could shift. You just got to find the...
So need more time.
You just another day or so.
Okay. So how would you suggest, Roger, then, that we approve this tonight?
Yeah, I would say that my recommendation is that the council vote to approve the development agreement, subject to the understanding that council and the engineer for Olson Homes will work out the addition that you spoke about.
The difference between the 500 and the 508.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with that language will be submitted to the mayor for approval.
Okay.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate all the time we've spent together. Now, I need a motion to approve an item 4.4, this infrastructure inspection fee agreement.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I assume this 4.5 resolution authorizing the Sage Stone 8 development agreement is the one that we just adopted with those provisions. Is that right, Roger?
Yes, that you've adopted the development agreement that's before you. And then we've also presented for your approval the infrastructure inspection fee agreement.
And so the only thing is to revise that language in the developer's agreement about the 45 days extra,
right,
for the
subject,
and then the budget, the difference between the 500 and 508 once they've had a chance to review the numbers.
And subject to review by the mayor.
And review by the mayor. Okay, very good. All right, we're in agreement then. We'll move now to item 4.6. We're going to open a public hearing at 7:40 p.m. For the purposes of the updated public records copy fee policy. And Debbie, you have a report for us.
Sure. The governor signed House Bill 1595, which is relating to costs associated with responding to public records requests. It includes several amendments to the various RCWs and made minor changes to the fees to respond to public records. This did not solve our issue about being able to charge for the staff time to research, examine, redact, talk to city our attorneys about public disclosure requests. It only made minor changes to the mail and email costs. The bill does require this public hearing for the costs to be considered to be adopted for by the council tonight. The only new charges is the 10 cents per scan page. We're doing a lot of our public records by emailing records out, so this helps us with our fees for emailing them out. The 10 cents per scan page, the 5 cents per 4 files or attachments, 10 cents per gigabyte of records emailed, and allows us to charge a flat fee of $2 for provided copies when the estimated costs are expected to be $2 or more. It really did not solve our issue about how much time is involved. So in 2016, we incurred costs, in-house costs of approximately or over $24,000 for public records requests. Our cost this year is approximately $1,400. This is back to normal, and we're able to do a lot of the requests through email. A lot of our information is available on our website, and it is. So one of the things is, though, our revenues are extremely minimal compared to what our actual costs are for going through public records requests. So this is required to have the public hearing. All of the new language in the policy are underlined. We do recommend that the council approve the public records copy fee policy. These will become effective July 23rd, 2017. And then at our next meeting, we'll have changes to our public records policy relevant to another House bill that the governor signed recently, too. So this tonight is the copy fees policy. I think I need to explain that a little bit better. So we'd ask for approval of the policy. Well, we got to go through the public hearing.
Okay. Is there any questions from staff? Debbie, it's been well researched, or from council, I'm sorry. It's been well researched, and appreciate you staying on top of those things.
Mm-hmm.
No questions from the council, then we'll move to the public testimony portion. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to speak in? There's three parts: those in support, those neutral to the proposal of this fee, or those in opposition. Is anybody here would like to speak to any one of those three? Seeing none, I will close the public portion of the testimony at 7:43 p.m. and ask council for a motion to approve as recommended by Debbie and our city clerk.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. That actually was item 4.7 on the agenda, and we're going to move to item 4.8, one-year extension for gasoline and diesel fuel with Lawrence Oil. Debbie?
In 2014, the Othello City Council awarded an agreement for gasoline and diesel to Lawrence Oil Company, Inc. The term of the agreement was for 3 years, which will expire August 12, 2017. The agreement provided that it could be extended for one additional year upon mutual agreements by both parties. We received a letter from Lawrence Oil Company requesting a one-year extension of the agreement upon the same contract terms. Their bid at the time was a price per gallon over their vendor rack's price plus a rate of 7.5 cents per gallon for any type of fuel dispensed. Lawrence Oil locations provide the necessary services for all of our departments. In 2016, we paid Lawrence Oil $48,841 for diesel and all fuel. Based upon the terms of the agreement, we do recommend that the council extend the current gasoline and diesel contract with Lawrence Oil for one additional year. And I did provide an addendum to the agreement, I believe. It's the First Amendment to the agreement, which would extend it to August 12, 2018. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, counsel. Entertain a motion to continue this agreement additional year.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's go to item 4.8, resolution to adopt the six-year street improvement plan. And Kurt, you may have actual questions this time.
You're a little tired last time.
Pretty straightforward.
So a week ago, we presented the STIP, six-year transportation improvement program. In that improvement program, we outlined 9 projects, listed them in priority. The higher priority ones were given some costs allocated to it as we went out there to year 5 and 6. They were kind of best guesses. The priority one is the First Avenue project reconstruction, which is going out to bid this week. Second priority is Lee construction. Third priority is the road rating, then South Broadway reconstruction, North Broadway, SR24 industrial area improvements, 7th Avenue ADA ramp and sidewalk improvements, 14th Avenue, State Route 26 intersection, Main Street State Route 17 intersection improvements, and 7th Avenue completion to Columbia Avenue intersection. Any question about the six-year transportation plan?
My only question is, it's still as it was in the past, that any time during the year if we need to make any changes to this, if something becomes a priority, we can add it to the list through council?
Yes. As I indicated last time, they are starting to use this in cross-agency references, so I think you're going to start seeing this to be a little bit more rigid and have to get better thought. And honestly, I think that's a good idea. I'm glad to see TIB and WashDOT working together a little bit.
Okay. Council? Need a motion to adopt this resolution authorizing the mayor to sign the six-year street improvement plan?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we are going to go to item 4.10, skateboard brick project. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. As you know, last year we were going to do the brick project, but due to some of the workload that we had, it didn't get done. So this year we've moved it up, prioritized it, got a very, very short window to get it done. Went out to bid, collected 5. 3 came back, the other 2 were too busy to take it on. The low bidder that we received was for Top Cut Construction to do this. The other 2 bidders that we had was Doug X for $15,006, Artesian Construction out of Moses Lake for $26,008, Top Cut was $6,085.56. Top Cut said that they can get it done in about 7 days. In part of the bid specs, 3 days for the concrete to cure before the bricks got laid. They have currently moved in up at the skate park today. They are expected to do some work for the school district on the football field on Wednesday. So he's under a tight window. We're under a tight window. We've got some sod to replace, some dressing up of this. This is for the unveiling of this skate park on the 4th of July. They want to have a skate competition. So the sooner the better on this if we can, but we're asking for a motion to award this to Top Cut Construction tonight.
Questions, Council?
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
So I have moved to item 4.11, Encanto Sunset Concert Resolution and Facility Use Agreement, and Amy has a report.
Good evening.
Thank you, Amy.
You're very welcome. There is a group, a nonprofit group, Washington Farm Labor Association, that has some funding to go around the state of Washington and provide a concert, sunset concert, to honor agricultural laborers, and Othello was selected as one of the locations that they would like to host one of their events. It was also stated in their application that John Warling, that Marjon Labor, will be recognized and is part of the ceremony of celebrating the agricultural laborers in our area. There will be three musical groups that perform, and they will provide all of their own sound equipment and sound technicians. The bands will arrive on site for setup on the morning of the event, and it will be a sunset concert from 6:30 to 9:30 at night. Evergreen Implement is going to provide the stage, as they do for most of our park events, and they've already been in contact with Roger Cheney to make sure that that coordinates with their schedule. They'll be using Lions Park. Their setup will be very similar to the 4th of July. In fact, I was just made aware that he will be contacting the 4th of July vendors to try to get those same vendors, or as many of them as possible, to come to his event as well and provide different types of food and other things that people can purchase. So I guess if you think about it in the sense of sort of Fiesta Amistad kind of mindset, that this isn't something that will be an annual event, but it's something that would hold sort of the same sentimental value for our group of people here in town that deserve to be recognized for their efforts. If they do end up with the same food vendors, they'll use the same process that our 4th of July vendors use, where the vendors will be responsible for their own insurance. They'll work with Becky, who's not here anymore, for getting business licenses. If they don't already have one, 4th of July vendors will already have food or business licenses, so they'll be good to go. The gentleman that I've been working with has been very upfront and honest this whole entire way, so I'm looking forward to working with him through this event. The way the tickets work, at first I was under the impression that it was a free concert. It's not a free concert. It is a concert that many free tickets will be given away to. So several community sponsors who have already committed to sponsor the event are awarded 500 free tickets to give to people. So through the advertising process, using La Campesina and the Columbia Basin Herald and Facebook and the other local avenues that we have, they will push people to those sponsors. Walmart is one of those sponsors. Evergreen Implement is one of those sponsors, to say, visit these retail locations to pick up your free tickets. So that brings people into local businesses to get the free tickets to come to the event. Should somebody attend the event that doesn't have a free ticket, they will pay $25 to get into the concert. There is a very big hope on the side of the Washington Farm Labor Association that nobody has to pay. There should be plenty of free tickets to go around, is what I'm told. Right now he has 2,500 free tickets out and available, but if a person doesn't pick up those tickets and shows up without one, then they will be charged an admission fee at the door or gate or grass. Or.
Okay.
So are they going to have a roped-off area for the...
He said that he believes that everybody will have a free ticket, and so he is not going to put a large emphasis on how he is going to control people coming in and out of the event.
Okay. But he's going to have a specific area where they're coming in.
I believe that is his intention.
Okay, because I was going to say, how is he going to charge people if they just decide to come to the park and sit out there and listen?
I don't think that he's terribly worried about it. I think that if somebody comes to the registration desk to enter the event without a ticket, then they'll pay $25. I think if they sat on the street and listened to it from their car, I don't think he would tax people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would hope, because there's going to be people in the park that are not there to listen to the concert, and I would hope that he wouldn't go and try to charge them $25 for being there.
Yeah. I'll charge him. Yeah. Okay, that's not an issue for us. They're going to police that. So, any further questions for Amy on this facility use agreement with Sunset? Who is it actually with?
It's Washington Farm Labor Association.
Washington Farm Labor Association.
Correct.
No questions? Okay, I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution to adopt this facility use agreement with the Washington Farm Labor Association.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 4.12, which is our Relay for Life. Amy?
So unfortunately, I don't have very much information to share with you. There's been a little bit of a standstill. I'm working with Kelly to review our current template that we use for facility use agreements and resolutions, and we're doing a special event in the park. And I don't have information back from them. And additionally, I just received their insurance certificate today, and that also holds up the process of coming and speaking with you in a formal sense to get approval for a contract. However, I did request to have this item left on the agenda tonight just so that I can run a couple of things by you that will come up as anomalies that we don't normally have requested during a special event in the park, to make sure that before we come in for the formal motion that there's no concerns or any additional information that you would request that I track down in preparation for overnight stay in Lions Park. So just to rewind a little bit for you, Relay for Life is typically held at the Othello High School track, but as Terry mentioned about moving into the track at the high school, they are doing construction, and that site is not available for Relay for Life to use this year. So they've requested to hold the event in Lions Park. Although it's not ideal for them, it is the lesser of two evils than to just take a year off. So anybody who's ever tried to run an event before knows that once you take a year off, it's very difficult to get things started again. Typically with Relay for Life, teams of fundraisers come in and set up on Friday evening, and they stay over, walk the track through the night, to basically represent, you know, one day out of our lives to stay up all night or to sacrifice the time is just a, you know, very shy example of what somebody who has cancer has to deal with on a regular basis. And that's the symbolism of walking through the night. And because of that, people sleep over at the event. Additionally, at the high school track, the fire pits are permitted for campsites, again, because it is an overnight event for both warmth, cooking, and light. The fire pits are permitted at the Othello High School track, and they've also requested that they can use the same fire pit mentality in our park to go along with their overnight camping. Those are the two biggest concerns, I think, that I had when I first saw the application, just as far as making sure that that was something that City Council was okay with, knowing that it is outside of our ordinance to allow people to sleep in the park overnight, and there is potential damage to park property if we're allowing open fires, even if they are contained in a fire pit overnight. Some other concerns that have come up were making sure that the walk path is lit, and the walk path is actually going to be in the grass. They are not going to utilize any of the asphalt pathways in the park. So making sure that the area that they are choosing to walk around is lit. And
how are we going to do that?
They are going to rent the generator lights like they use for street construction at night. We have the basketball court and tennis court lights, and then we have the ball field lights that we can turn on that will shed some light on there. But if any of you have been at the end of 4th of July, it's not completely luminescent. So I do think that there are some challenges with it. I think there are things that we can overcome, and I think that as a group, they understand that it's not going to be, I don't know if ideal is the right word, but ideal circumstances, but they are willing to make arrangements on their end to comply with the city's expectation for the event. So those will be the things that are included in the contract and resolution that we don't typically see for a special event. So I guess I would ask for you to give me any input or opinion.
What's the date of said event?
Oh, it's in July. Hang on just a second.
In July.
Yes, sir. July 21st and 22nd.
Okay. Okay.
What type of park damage might that cause, like the grass and stuff like that walking around?
Unfortunately,
I've never been to one, so I don't know. I mean, if you've got, you know, 100 people walking around in circles, that's going to be real hard on the park, the grass.
Yes, sir.
You think that's hard? Try to push somebody in a wheelchair in that grass.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough.
Exactly.
I'd sure let these people know this is just temporary.
Yes.
This year.
That is, the school district has assured me that even amidst the improvements that they're making at the high school track, that they are still a community-minded organization who wants to support this event. They just unfortunately are unable to this year.
Right.
They did offer McFarland Middle School, but there's no lights at all out there. So it made a little bit more sense for them to go after this venue.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's move to item 4.13, All Cities Classic Car Show and Slow Drags Resolution Facility Use Agreement.
So this is an annual event that we have had in the park for years. There, it is business as usual. Slow Drags will be down Main Street, be blocked off like a parade. Their parade application has already been submitted and signed off. They have very little impact in the park while they're there. I think it's a treasured event for a lot of people that many people look forward to, and it does bring in tourism to our community, which is always very important for businesses in our area, and just important for Othello to keep new faces coming into town. Their event will be one day, just a few hours in the park. They've requested the middle shelter, so they've left accessible the basketball shelter and the most eastern shelter. If somebody did want to have a birthday party or something else, they're not averse to sharing the park by any means with anybody. They will have some food vendors. The food vendors that they have had in the past have always complied with the health department business licensing requirements. We give some parking permits for not the vehicles that are being shown, but the vendor vehicles that come into the park to make sure that they're not damaging any city infrastructure. And their estimated fee should be $200 based on their less than 500 person attendance for the event.
Any further questions, Council? Nope. Happens every year. Great event. City certainly benefits from having all those out-of-town people come, so I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution authorizing the city use of city property for the Othello chapter of All Cities Classic Car Club's annual Spud Run and Car Show.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Amy, while you're here, we have a special and momentous event taking place on Sunday this week.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Who's coming to town?
The Seattle Seahawks. So would you line out for the council what the plan is from the city standpoint, or do you have any
Sure.
plan?
I can absolutely tell you that.
Okay.
So from the city's side of things, Sunday, the Seattle Seahawks will be visiting in town. We'll be blocking off about 30 parking spaces on Pine Street for a large truck and trailer semi-truck that's completely outfitted with the Seahawks skins, so that it's a beautiful backdrop for pictures. In addition to that, a tour bus, which again is decked out with all Seahawks. And then they have a small SUV that carries the GO team that comes about an hour ahead of the players and the actual event itself that comes and brings the sound equipment and does all the preparatory work. We will be moving some temporary bleachers over along with the stage from Evergreen Implements. So again, the setup will look very similar to the 4th of July. They have requested some barricaded areas off, mostly for asset control. So Blue Thunder will be here, which is the Seahawks drum line. Their drums are worth an exorbitant amount of money, and they don't want them just laying out in the grass. So they've asked for us to barricade off. She said nothing too fancy, just some cones and caution tape, a perimeter around the stage itself, and then to block off some area to the side and behind so that people can't gather there. They will be raising a 12 flag, which will be left here in Othello as their gift to us. And the explorers from our police department will be raising that 12 flag for us. Mayor Logan will be giving a short speech about welcoming them to our community. They will have a performance from the Seagulls, from Blue Thunder. There'll be two players here that will answer questions. They will make their first commitment to media. Media will get a chance to take pictures with them for the newspaper and write an article about them. And additionally, they will be able to stick around for as long as possible. She said that we're not to advertise or make any promises about how much player interaction there will be. because it's very situational, depending on the crowd, depending on the length of time, and a lot of other unforeseen challenges that may arise. So the hopes are that we have a excited but polite crowd that doesn't chase away the opportunity for the players to engage with people. It's meant to be a family event. There's very little work really that we have to do in order to welcome them other than provide the space and give them the parking spaces and the electricity and the stage. And the last council meeting that I was here to bring this information to you, we authorized them to come without all of the strings attached, if you will, to make it something that will actually happen. So there's many communities around us that have shared the opportunity of the Seahawks coming to town, and I know that they wouldn't do it if it wasn't important to them. And I think it's pretty awesome that they're even making time for us, because they've been in Walla Walla, Tri-Cities, and Moses Lake, and so it'd be very easy for them to say, hey, we were 30 minutes away, you guys could have come and seen us there. But I posted it on Facebook, and we have like more comments and shares and likes on that than we did on any other thing we've ever had, shockingly. So I hope to have a large attendance, and you know, crowd control will be really kind of left up to the citizens, and the police department will, I'm sure, be there in support of that. So I've asked the Explorers, as many of the Explorers that can come, to come out and participate in helping out, like they do with the 4th of July. They do have a little bit of a conflict because they have a camp that they have that very same weekend. But I'm working with SRO Carlson to make accommodations for that.
You're encouraging us to come in our Seahawk gear?
I would think so. There are some people on Facebook that are absolutely coming in 49ers jerseys, but I can't control that, so.
They enter at their own risk.
That's what I said, too.
What time did you say this kicks off?
It'll be 12 to 1. They'll be here for just an hour. Yep.
I've had a lot of people ask me, who got them to come to our town?
They called us.
They heard about us.
That's what I heard. Perfect.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Amy.
No problem.
We're going to move to item 4.14, ordinance to amend the OMC 1224010. And
I'll
Chief?
I'll make this quick.
Thank you.
The air conditioner's making a little frosty in here. 1224 establishes the penalty for water and sewer violations. We recently found that it is an infraction, and we want to make it a fee. With an infraction, we have to actually do an investigation, cite someone, take them into the court. They can contest it that way. Our recommendation, considering they do have possession of their water, and it would be them turning the meter on or off, that it actually be a fee that's directly added to the bill. And that is the ordinance that's in front of you. It is an amendment that will accomplish that. Legal counsel has reviewed and approved it.
Counsel?
That was good.
Do you have any comments, Roger?
Sure, you ran it by Kelly, so that's fine by me.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion to amend our OMC 1224-010.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Is there any unfinished business on item 5? I do have one item. We held interviews last week to replace Travis, Community Development Director. Big sigh of relief from Pert, who's been filling in his stead. We had several very good applicants, and we extended an offer, but we have not received a confirmation yet. Hopefully we'll receive something tomorrow, and that's all that I can tell you at the moment, okay? The Lions Club auction is tomorrow night at 6. Senior Wade still has got tickets. Saturday is the annual ACDC meeting and banquet, business meeting and banquet, and that'll be in Ritzville at the Legion. American Legion?
Yeah,
Wade has tickets to those. Those are $40. It also includes earlier a trip to the Lasting Legacy Wildlife Museum that is about to open to the public should be good. I am going to go, so if anybody else wants to go, make sure you buy a ticket from Wade, or you'll probably pay more at the door. So that's all the announcements and unfinished business that I have. Is there anything the council would like to bring up with regard to unfinished business? Okay. Is there any new business? Item six. Okay, hearing none. I will make one final comment. This is Debbie Kudrow's last meeting, city council meeting. So I just thought, yeah, it is a big whoop, okay? So anyway, I just, again, I want to extend a congratulations, not only from myself, but also this council, staff, previous councils, mayors, and people, Debbie, because we have relied on you for years, and you have never let us down. And I just want to thank you. And I felt it was a note, and it should have been, and it should be in the council minutes, that we thank you for your service. And there's also going to be a reception a week from Friday here at City Hall. Next Friday from 1 to 3. Is that right? And so with that,
open house from 1 to
1 to 3, open house? Yep. Right. So with that, and having no further business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:12 p.m.